Welcome to Good Life. I'm Dean Wilson. I'm so glad you're with us wherever you're joining us. So many of you joining us on television here locally in the Santa Barbara area at TVSB. We welcome you. And so many of you finding us on all these other platforms, including the YouTube channel, Good Life Television, the all the social media and the goodlifetelevision.org. And then there's a lot of you that just join us on the podcast, which is great. Good Life Conversations is what you want to search for at any podcast platform. Good Life Conversations. We're brought to you as always by Bun and Chevrolet, our good friends there. And I am so grateful for my guest today. Dr. Mark Goulston is with us, and he's been with us before, and we had an amazing interview. If you didn't get to see the first time, I'd encourage you to do that. It really affected me, and I was mentioned to Dr. Goulston before we came on that, you know, just in our parenting and our kind of situation in life that we've been navigating over the last year or so, that it really made an impact. Dr. Goulston's 40 years as a clinical psychiatrist. He's a healthy conflict coach. He was a hostage negotiator. He's written, he's helped just lots of people in his life. And we're going to talk a little bit about some of Dr. Goulston's principles, but I wanted to just kind of cut to the chase, if you will. And Dr. Goulston, in terms of, update us since we last talked to you. I mean, update us. You're facing something in your own life that of significance. Can you talk to us a little bit about kind of what's going on?
Yeah, a lot's been going on since I was last on. I'm facing a terminal illness, and I have a condition called high risk MDS, which is myelodysplastic syndrome, which becomes acute myeloid leukemia. And I'll be going in for a bone marrow transplant, which is like an organ transplant. They radiate, kill off all your bone marrow. And fortunately, my son matched as a donor. So they'll use something like dialysis to take out some of his stem cells from his blood. They'll inject those into me, and I will literally start from scratch. I have to get my childhood vaccines done again, chickenpox, measles, all those. I'll be isolated in the hospital for 3 weeks to a month, and then be very, very careful after that for 4 or 5 months. And several months ago, the prognosis didn't seem that good to me until my hematologist updated me and said, well, there's still about a 15% mortality from the procedure because you have no resistance to infection. And if I get an infection, that's why I'm isolated in the hospital. You know, they'll put me on IV antibiotics. And well, there's an 85% chance that I'll be okay. 15% chance I'll, you know, go downhill. And, but it's amazing the progress. So he's told me that there's roughly a 75% 3-year survival, which means if it works, it's a cure because they're just replacing my entire bone marrow. Of course, if it doesn't work, you know, then that's another situation. But what's happened is I've been on this amazing journey where I have the most peace of mind I've ever had in my life. I mean, no depression, no anxiety, no fear. And I'm getting interviewed everywhere because people are, as one host said, you know, they said, Mark, you're the ultimate elephant in the room. And so every day I'm learning something. I have a YouTube and TikTok channel called I'm Dying to Tell You. Because every day, literally, the universe is telling me to share what I've learned in 50 years of listening as a psychiatrist. And I'm sharing things that that I hope other people will learn without having to be dying. My first episode, I think we have 45 up there now, and they're 4 minutes to 10 minutes. But the first one was Michelangelo dying, in which I said, just as Michelangelo saw the angel in the marble and carved till he set it free, I saw what was important in life inside everything that's unimportant. And I carved away everything that's unimportant. And what's important just shine through. And I think we can all do that. I wish I'd carved away what was unimportant decades ago. And so I'm just sharing these things that I'm realizing. And I have a certain sense of humor about it. Someone said to me, so what else is giving you peace of mind? And I said, you know, everybody who has ever lived has died. If they can do it, so can I.
Oh, my goodness. What, you carved away the unimportant. What's important?
Well, you know, something that has led up to this is I was a death and dying specialist through my career, focusing on suicide prevention, but doing house calls to dying patients to try and help them make peace with themselves at the end. And a number of them were fairly successful, but they, you know, they weren't happy in the end. And I remember one person I met with, and they liked that I could be direct with them. And I said, you know, you look pretty awful, and you've been awful as long as I've known you. You've been dying as long as I've known you. So what's going on? What's new? And he said, everything I thought was important isn't. And everything I thought wasn't important is. And I think what he was talking about is he wasn't emotionally close to anyone. You know, he loved his children. They loved him. He'd take them on trips and whatnot. And something I'm also discovering, and I'll share this with you because I don't think it'll be lost on you, is the importance of people, the importance of people not only knowing they're loved by you, but feeling loved by you. And you allowing them to love you and letting it in. And I've always had trouble letting people care about me because I was the caretaker.
Right.
I was the doctor. I'd push it away. If someone said, reached out to me, how are you doing, Mark? I'd say, well, I'm fine. What's going on with you? How can I help you? What's important? How's that going? And as I mentioned before, I've always lived to give, and now I give to live, because when I give, I come from abundance. You know, my cup runneth over. Whereas if I focus on, you know, taking or asking even, I come from scarcity. So one of the other episodes that I'm dying to tell you, and it's that I'm dying to tell you, Dr. Mark, that's the YouTube one, and it's at Dr. Mark on TikTok, is the power of true vulnerability. Vulnerability, this is my version, without helplessness. So about 5 months ago, and if I'm a betting man, you're going to join a club that I've started. So about 5 months ago, you know, I was having a conversation with someone. And they said, well, how are you doing, Mark? And instead of saying, well, I'm fine, I paused. And I said, well, I have a few issues. And, you know, they were distracted and, you know, giving me less than their undivided attention. And they said, oh, what, really? And then I looked at them like I'm looking at you, and it just came, bubbled up, and I said, I think I might be dying. And it just changed everything. And I got emotional. I didn't get helpless, but I just I have a feeling you're going to see some of it, my friend. And I apologized. I got embarrassed. I said, I'm so sorry. You know, oh, this is wrong. I don't want to burden you. And so far, Dean, with these people who are caring people, you know, who yes, transactionally they're successful, but they also have the capacity to care. And every one of them has said to me, don't apologize. And I said, why? I'm sorry. And here's some of the responses I've received. One person said, this is a gift, Mark. And I said, why? And he said, this is the most emotionally intimate conversation I've ever had.
Wow.
And you might think, wow. But a lot of people, you know, we love people, but a lot of people don't know how to have an emotionally intimate conversation. And I think the fact that what my guard was totally down, his guard went down. And then another person said, Mark, I envy you. I said, what? He said, no, you can have your illness. Yeah. He said, but the way you are with me, you are so open. You feel safe enough to be this way with me, and you are. You're so trusting. I don't see you as emotional. I see you as free. And I've never been that way.
Wow.
Oh, this is pretty amazing. And then one other person said, I want to thank you for the gift of receiving my caring. And then here's the club I've formed. These people, you know, I don't ask anything. And I would say 90% of them have said 24/7, Mark. And I'd say, what does that mean? They say, you can call me 24/7. And these are people who are busy. And if I came up to them with some cockamamie idea, which I have a few of, they would say, well, that's interesting, Mark. You know, I'm doing a lot of things. I wish you luck with it. And so they're pretty busy. And I've been trying to figure out why, this is my version of the 700 Club, why 24/7? And what I realize is, yes, they're caring. Yes, they want to care about me. But I think what they're receiving is, it's such a rare conversation that they want more of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm just sharing that with people that there's a power to just being openly vulnerable,
mm-hmm.
and just having your guard down and letting the chips fall and trusting who you're with.
Mm-hmm.
What happens is people lower their guard and they're not used to lowering their guard. So I'm learning all these things, Dean, that I hope people can learn before, you know, they're facing their mortality.
Wow. I don't even know where to start with what you just said, but sign me up for the club for one. But I think, gosh, that's so powerful. The authenticity, the not being moved around by fear and competition and the tyranny of the urgent. I said on the last interview we just had, I had a mentor tell me a long time ago, if I could give you a gift, I'd give you the gift of perspective. The things that we're chasing around and fretting about, and I don't know, C.S. Lewis somewhere in there said, he talked about how we fool around with, you know, drink and this and that when we have a, you know, a feast in front of us that we miss, or something to that effect, of we miss the good stuff so often, I think, because of all of this noise. So in one sense, Mark, I mean, you're saying you've never been more peaceful. I mean, has it kind of like, everything's faded away because of this situation or this new reality, whatever you want to call it. Can you describe what that's been like?
Well, it's interesting because some people, I know a lot of entrepreneurs, and they say, you got to have a positive attitude, Mark. You got to fight this. And I say, look, one of the other lessons that I'm sharing in these videos is the importance of an amazing team. So I have a doctor who is at 260 five-star patient reviews. He's a unicorn amongst unicorns, and I can understand why. And so having an amazing team, be it in business, be it your spouse, and being able to identify and trust and have total confidence in them and rely on them, which describes my doctor at Cedars-Sinai Hospital. But I'm telling you, don't settle for less in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, have each other's backs, be there for each other, with each other. And because, look, I would make excuse in a number of the partnerships I have. Like, I'm a former therapist, so, you know, they're having a hard time. I let a deadline go by or something. And so that's really important, is giving me peace of mind. There was another specialist I had seen who was very bright, but very arrogant. And I would have been intimidated to call if I had some issues. And so I attribute to my doctor 50% of my peace of mind, because he's just so complete and thoughtful. And so I'm able to rely on that. Another thing that's given me peace of mind is I have nothing left to prove and nothing left to chase.
Mm-hmm.
And I've let that all go, and I have everything to share. You know, so I've learned a lot from listening to people for 50 years, and I'm finding these vehicles, these videos I'm sharing. You know, it's not to monetize, it's not to get sponsors, it's just to share what is being revealed to me every day, and what people can do for me is, well, if you just check out the videos and you like them, use them to help your life. I will say that, you know, when I get more than 6 or 8 views, it does put a little bit of a smile on my face, but I'm not chasing them.
Yeah,
and so it just, I don't know, it's just a great place to be. And the world, the world is chasing after me more than it ever has. So, you know, so there's something uplifting about that, that people might want to hear something that I have to share that hopefully will enrich their lives.
Well, yeah, because we're not used to hearing from people like you. I mean, people that I don't think we hear a whole lot from, people who have been given a diagnosis and are talking about it like before they, I mean, it'd be one thing if you, okay, you kick it, everything's okay. And then but you're like in it, you know, you're in the middle of it right now. And that's to have this kind of peace and presence and insight, and like you mentioned, revelation. I always think about, I love the scripture where it talks about he's set a table for me in the presence of my enemies.
Mm.
Not once they're conquered, in the presence. Like, so right now you're sitting at the table with this, you know, diagnosis, and you're just at the table. You know, it's not over. It's not, I mean, I can't wait for the day. I hope it, you know, and believe that it'll be conquered for you, but you're talking about it right now. That's what's like, I think that's what's probably shocking to people. Like, what? You should be in the fetal position at home in a dark room, you know, like, and here you are giving hope and life and perspective. And so I applaud you, and we're going to get that YouTube channel out, because I think, man, what an incredible message. What are the conversations like right now with your family?
It's interesting because they're quiet. They're all in. My son will be my stem cell donor. I think they're sad. I've always had more access to just what I'm feeling, because I know that when you can just identify, acknowledge, name, and feel the depth of your feelings as deeply as you can feel them. Here's an insight someone shared with me, and it's true. When you can do that, it dissipates in less than 90 seconds.
Hmm.
But close to 100% of people run away as soon as feelings, oh, I'm anxious. I better do something or else I get a panic attack. Oh, geez, I'm feeling disappointed. Oh, I better do something or else, you know, I might want to end it all. Or, geez, that hurts that I'm feeling so rejected. I don't know what to do with myself. And I've experienced it many times now, that when I just allow myself to just feel it as deeply as I can, I'll lean into it and I'll get tearful and sad. Like, I have to keep a distance from everyone. So I'm going to go in for a transplant, and then I'll be isolated for a month. But I wear a surgical N95 mask inside my house. You know, I'm in a separate room from, you know, my family members. When my grandchildren come over, I usually watch them from, you know, the upstairs window. Although yesterday I went down into the yard and watched them from a distance with my mask on. And boy, I love them. And I'm not going to see them as teenagers, in all likelihood. I mean, even if it goes well, they're five and under. And so I just allow myself to feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just comes and goes. Now, I didn't want to upset them. Oh, why is grandpa crying and all that? But it's, I'm just wanting people to emotionally connect with the people they love and vice versa. And lower your guards whenever, wherever you can, even as a leader.
Yeah.
There's something called being an open-hearted leader, in which, and there's a difference between being vulnerable and helpless and panicking. I think you can be purely emotionally open. And if you've helped the people around you, they will step up to return the favor.
It's okay to be human, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. How is your faith perspective, or how has that informed this experience?
I will own the feeling that I must be spiritual. It's always been sort of abstract to me. In terms of faith, I have a love and a protectiveness towards humanity. You know, if and when I've been in the business world, it's always been to humanize business. Totally. You know, that's always been my goal. And so some people will say, well, you know, that's what our faith teaches us, and I'm glad. And I attend a church in which everyone is welcome. It's an experimental extension of the Episcopal Church. It's called THADS, THADS.org. And everybody is welcome there. You know, it doesn't matter your religion, doesn't matter anything. And they barely survive because the church doesn't give them any money. It's all donations and I just love their love for humanity. And yes, they'll read from scripture, but everybody is welcome as you are. They're not trying to convert you into anything.
Mm-hmm.
Loving and forgiving, and everybody is welcome. They just don't know how to fundraise. I wish I could help them more.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Love and forgiveness. So just to clarify for somebody who's just tuning in, so you're going to be going for this bone marrow transplant in a month in isolation and then 4 months of being really careful. But so what have they told you about like 3 years and 5 years? And what have they kind of told you that they see here?
Well, about 6 months ago, I thought the prognosis was 20% mortality during it and 48% 3-year survival, and which meant, you know, if you live to make it 3 years, you're probably good to go because they're replacing your bone marrow, but it was 48%, and it was 28% without the bone marrow transplant, you know, doing chemo and that route. But recently my hematologist said, it's better than that. It's now about 10% mortality during the procedure and 75%. And by 75%, they mean it's a cure because, you know, you have all new bone marrow. And it's interesting. I need to sprinkle a little humor in this. I've reached out to some of the 24/7 club and I said, rumors of my imminent demise, which I started, may have been exaggerated. And if you want to take back the 24/7, you can.
No, but see, that's the point, is we need the 24/7, even if we're going to be around a long time. That's the thing. That's the lesson here. I had an 88-year-old lady on the program a few weeks ago, and you could just tell she's the kind of person that just does not care what you think. Like, it just, she's over it, right? And I said, well, I'm sitting here, I'm 48. I said, I want to be 88 in that regard, right? I mean, of course, when you have, you know, kids and you've got grandkids, my oldest is about to be married in a month, and so I'm kind of heading in that direction, but I want to have that perspective of that you're talking about. And it's just so counter the world. It's so counter, you know, to you know, hug longer, pay attention to the person who's in front of you, what you're saying, be emotionally available. I don't think I've done that well. I'm just going over a checklist in my mind of all the things I want to change right here, Dr. Goldstein. I'm being serious. Like, it's not normal, but it's life. This is it. This is the meat and potatoes.
So I want to give you a tip, of what you just said. And this is one of the, episodes. This is before I've had something called lymphoma for over 2 years, but it was a very slow lymphoma that people live for sometimes many years, and then the treatments are pretty good. So then it crossed over into this other condition, and at this stage of my life, you know, I'm blessed with my family, and I have four grandchildren who are now five and under. And what would happen is my, and they live locally. And so my, you know, frequently my daughters would bring over the grandchildren, and I'd make sure that I was in the kitchen, you know, where we congregate. And this is kind of a comical anecdote, but I think there's something to be gained from it. So when I would sit there, my wife and my daughters would be talking about various details that I have no idea what they're talking about. And my four grandchildren would be playing. And occasionally they'd look at me because there's grandpa at the end of the table, not being talked to, not saying anything, just there. And so they'd look at me. And there was one point at which I thought, well, you know, I'm not being included, you know, but then I realized something was going on because I picked up my phone to check the messages. And even though my daughters are multitasking, everybody gave me the stink eye. What are you looking at your phone for? What are you, a workaholic? And then I decided, well, I'll put it down because, you know, maybe my presence means something. But I was still thinking about text messages and, you know, someone trying to reach me. But then I thought that was pretty junky. And then here was the breakthrough. I said to myself, you know, you're only going to be in the kitchen for 45 minutes before, you know, they leave or whatever. And my whole purpose was to totally rid my mind of everything. And when my grandchildren would look at me, I would bathe them in utter delight.
Mm.
And utter delight is like if they look at me, my eyes would be saying, you have no idea how much I adore you.
Mm.
And for a lot of males would say, well, how do you do that? I'd say, it's pretty easy. You have a dog, you come home from work, the dog greets you and jumps up on your leg and wags their tail, and you look into your dog's eyes and they look in yours. That's utter delight. And so, and my grandchildren would take a double take, you know, because I'm not sure that I was that present when my children are growing up. Yeah, I love them, but I was always in a rush to go make a living, a rush to do something. And I'm not sure that I bathe them in utter delight, you know, because of us all being busy. And so I'm trying to share that with the world.
Ugh.
That you can go, if you're listening or watching this, you can do this with the waiter or waitress at a restaurant.
Right.
You know, when they give you the bill and you see their name tag, you say, thank you. Thank you, Joe. Another thing. And they're going to look at you. No, you didn't do anything wrong. And you look at them, and with your gaze, you just smile and say, hey, Joe, thank you. And you look them in the eye, and they'll go, oh, okay. And then you watch them leave the table, and sometimes they'll just shake their shoulders like, what was that? And so we can do that. And I can tell you, when I practiced that with my grandchildren, I felt emotionally healthy, totally cleansed. And we can all do that. And it just has to be top of mind. I mean, one of the things, I've been married 45 years, almost your age, and I'm doing my best to bathe my wife in that. She doesn't know it, and she doesn't listen to any of these things. So it'll be our secret, plus all your viewers. But I'm looking at her, and her devotion and dedication to my family and me. She's a little bit overly detail-oriented, but that allows me to be sloppy. Did you exercise today, Mark? You know, they say you got to build. Okay, I'm going for a walk now. But just her dedication to all of us, I can overlook a lot of the things she does that annoy me, and I annoy her in many ways. But it's a wonderful feeling. And we can practice that. And I can tell you, every time I'm practicing bathing anyone in utter delight, as I said, I just feel so healthy psychologically. Like, Mark, this is really good.
So good.
So wow. You can practice that. Those are your marching orders, Dean.
I'm going to go home and bathe my children in utter delight. They might, you know, call the authorities at first, but, you know, I think
they'll say, what's wrong with Dad? Do we have to get a brain scan?
I love this. I love everything about this. Mark, it's such a pleasure. It's such a privilege to know you. I'm in the club. If you need like a blood sample or a, you know, social security number, let me know. But I'm in, and I learned from you, and I encourage everybody to go check out the YouTube channel. I'm dying to tell you, Dr. Mark Goulston has been the guest, and we're going to pray for you. We're going to look forward to hearing about the journey, and you've helped a lot of people over decades, and now the things that you're bringing to the world are life altering if taken seriously. So thank you for coming on and sharing about it.
Well, maybe we'll follow up when I'm in the hospital isolated. You know, you'll see me there and you can say, what's on the menu, Mark?
I would love it. Stay in touch. We'll keep close to you. We're with you in spirit.
Thank you.
Dr. Mark Goulston has been the guest, everyone. I'd probably watch that like 4 or 5 times. Be honest with you, that there's a lot there, but thank you for joining us. We'll see you next time.